You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket with me, Simon Hughes.
And me, Simon Mann.
This podcast, of course, in association with TNT Sports, the exclusive home of this India-England series. And there's lots of ways of getting in touch with us, by the way, I should just mention at the start here. We've had lots of interesting feedback on our features on things like Hawkeye and so on over the last couple of weeks. So any thoughts you have, you can either email us at theanalystpodcast@gmail.com or send a tweet at theanalyst or at cricket_man with a double N. So any of those ways you can get in touch with us and give us your thoughts. We're going to hear later, actually, from the guy that I wrote about on Substack the other day, the coach of Jaiswal, of Yashasvi Jaiswal, and other Rajasthan Royals players, Zubin Barucha, who is a real pioneer of coaching methods and drills that we were talking about in an earlier podcast. So he's coming up after the break, and his star pupil, Yashasvi Jaiswal, today has gone past 1,000 runs and really dominated the latter half of the day. But I suppose, Simon, we should obviously start by first reflecting on the state of play.
Yeah, India totally on top. A mountain too far for England. Cameo cricket today from them, and India totally dominating the day. And I have to say, Yoz, it has the feel of an innings defeat. Does it feel like that to you for England? 135 for one in reply to 218 all out. Even if England were to make progress through India's batting tomorrow, you still feel they're going to concede a reasonable first innings lead. Then the pressure comes on in the third innings with India's spinners and India dominating the day. England couldn't cope with their three spinners today, Ashwin and Kuldeep. Kuldeep doing the damage to start with, then Ashwin joining in the fun. But it was pretty timid from England, wasn't it? There was just no real resilience there. It was all a bit frenetic, totally unable to absorb any pressure.
Groundhog Day, really, wasn't it? With the sort of sequence of middle order collapses in this series, another one today. Actually, I found it quite amusing the other day before this match, and you mentioned the mountain to climb. England have been exploring the mountains a little bit. A couple of shots or videos from Jimmy Anderson and others on Instagram of the bowlers, instead of having their ice bath in the ground, getting into the freezing waters that cascade around Dharamshala. There's some lovely streams and rivers that you can jump into and actually have a swim in. It is absolutely arctic. I put my foot in when we were in Dharamshala over the World Cup, and it is very cold in there, but wonderful for a bowler after a hard bit of yakka on the field. But it's the batsmen that need to go and put their heads under that cold water today, because that was a shocking performance by England. After a good opening stand again, wickets fell. 5 wickets for 8 runs in the middle order and the last 7 going for 43. Unforgivable.
Yeah. Fifth 50 partnership for the first wicket of the series. That's not been a problem for England, has it? Crawley and Duckett have been able to get England off to decent starts. And actually, early on, I mean, they did pretty well not to lose a wicket early on because the ball was jagging around. Bumrah bowled one unbelievable delivery to Crawley that sort of angled in and left him, and he missed it. He was looking to play into the onside with the angle. He missed it past the outside edge, and the ball went over the top of middle stump. It was a fantastic delivery. I don't think anyone could believe it hadn't bowled him. I don't know, the new ball, bit of extra bounce. There was a lot of playing and missing. Of course, Ben Duckett doesn't like to leave, so he was pushing at ball and missing. Bumrah was getting the ball to really curve away from the right-handers. But every now and again, Crawley would drive one through the offside before, just relieve a bit of the pressure. And England, they certainly survived the new ball, didn't they? Ashwin came on at 47 for no wicket. So, you know, it was, again, a solid start from England. Jadeja not into the attack until the 37th over, when it was 136 for two. But it was Yadav, Kuldeep Yadav, who made the first incision. Ben Duckett, well, it's the way he plays. He was trying to hit him over the top. They'd already taken nine off his first five balls, and then a big scything, booming drive over the top, and then Gill took a very good catch running back, and sort of kind of India were on their way. It was in that sort of early part of the innings, I felt like England, they were just beginning to get on top, and they'd lose a wicket, and that would draw India back into the game. And then, of course, later on, it was all just pack of cards time, the sort of thing we've seen so often from England in India. It actually reminded me of the last tour that England went on to India, but they just couldn't deal with Kuldeep Yadav today. What do you think, Yoz, on this? Do you think there are still deep into the series there are players who are just not reading him?
Definitely, undoubtedly. Ben Stokes is a prime example. He's sort of playing him off the pitch. I find it strange, actually, that in fact I videoed a couple of his deliveries today. The wicket ball to Stokes and a couple of balls before that. So the orthodox delivery that spun away from him, and then the googly that defeated him and got him on the back foot, LBW. And there is quite a discernible difference in the release. It's obviously different looking from behind as it is looking from the batsman's perspective. But there is a difference. The arm for the googly is higher and straighter, whereas the normal leg break that spins away from the left-hander into the right-hander, is the arm is slightly lower and it's slightly kinked. There's a slight bend in it to create that spin. Whereas when he bowls the googly, his arm is bolt upright and the ball is obviously coming out the back of the hand. So there are discernible differences. I mean, obviously, I have no pretensions as a batsman, so I can't really criticise these top-class players for not being able to pick Kuldeep. But I would have thought they've had enough video evidence and other analysis to be able to see the differences. In fact, before we sort of dwell on that a bit more, I would like to just go back to this opening pair of Crawley and Duckett, who had been impressive seven times in the last 11 innings, going back beyond before this series. They've scored a 50 partnership, five 50 partnerships in this series. They haven't really kicked on, and that's the time you want to bat, isn't it? It seems it's all right. You're facing Bumrah and other faster bowlers who are good, but the ball is doing less generally then than it does in the middle of the innings when the spinners are on. So that's when England have to capitalise. And, I mean, Zach Crawley, for all his glorious driving and consistency, so he's the leading England batsman in the series with 45 average, and constantly getting off to a good start, hasn't ever kicked on. You know, he's got a high score in the 70s, and that's just not enough, is it? He's still hovering as a test average around 31, 32, which, you know, you've got to get big hundreds at that top of the order. And that was the secret with, say, England in 2012 in India. Alistair Cook, big hundreds, 190, 170, those sort of scores. Kevin Peterson, 186, you know, in the middle order. You've got to get big scores. And it's a responsibility of that top order to do that. And apart from Duckett's 150 in that second test, he hasn't. You know, England haven't done it. The openers haven't done it, and really delivered big scores.
Yeah, Crawley today, I thought, played really nicely. I mean, he looked good. I mean, he did have his share of luck. to be fair. He survived an umpire's call against Siraj on 29. He was actually caught by Sarfraz at short leg on 61, but India did not review it. Sarfraz was insistent that there was a little tickle down the leg side. It hit the keeper's gloves, bounced up, and Sarfraz dived back and took the catch. Sarfraz said, yeah, that's out. But Rohit Sharma did not review it. That was another umpire Wilson decision, but those are tricky ones. I think those inside edges onto the pad or inside edges, you know, fine edges, you know, it's not always straightforward. Well, not all of the Indian fielders were convinced. The keeper wasn't convinced, and he was the one that sort of dropped the catch. So, you know, that was an sort of understandable one, I suppose. He did have a bit of luck today, Crawley, but then he was out. The dismissal that got him was a ball tossed up by Kuldeep Yadav just outside the off stump, and he went for a big drive and he was bowled through the gate. It really did spin, and it was one of those. It was sort of like umpire's call, wasn't it, on the stumps? He, you know, he bowled him, but it was like an umpire's call. It, you know, flicked the leg bail off. Yeah, he is a player that has been out 6 times in the 70s in Test cricket, 3 times in the 70s in India. He plays some lovely shots. I suppose the thing about Zach Crawley is he always gives you a chance, doesn't he, in the way he plays. And that's the reason why he's been out 6 times in the 70s. You know, there have been batters in the past who, you know, when they get to 70, they really do cash in. And actually, you're right, Yoz. I mean, if you want to win in India, someone or two players have got to get big scores. Jaiswal's done it a couple of times in the series. Of course, when Ollie Pope did it in the first Test match, England did win the game. OK, it was an unusual set of circumstances and he was dropped. And if India had taken that catch, then probably they'd be on course to win the series 5-0. But it is those big runs. And so the cameos don't really make that much difference. So he made 79 out of 218. It's actually wrong to be sort of pinpointing him in a way, because at least he scored 79 today, and there were lots of others who got in and you fritted their wickets away. And yeah, there were a lot of double figure scores, but nothing of any great substance.
No, I think there's the trouble with Zach Crawley is, and I've been a big fan of his actually, you know, in amongst all the criticism and people saying, you know, he's only averaging 27 and all this sort of thing in the past, and why is he getting such an extended run, which Brendan McCullum, you know, very much vouched for. I feel that he's not quite hungry enough. He's not quite precise enough. You know, he plays those big shots. He's improved his driving and his judgment of what to leave and what to play a little bit. So he's not getting nicked off quite as much as he was, which is, you know, a good sign. But he's not clinical enough. When he gets into those 60s and 70s, he's still playing those slightly flamboyant shots. And I just feel it's almost like a matter of time. Yes, he does give the bowler a chance. When you look at Jaiswal, by comparison, he plays these flamboyant shots, but when he defends with absolute resolution and total decisiveness. I think there's just a bit of sort of slightly floweriness about, you know, if Geoffrey Boycott was here now, he'd say, well, he's playing those pretty shots, you know, pretty no good. I mean, it's just, you know, it lacks a little bit of precision, I think. And it's a bit hard to criticise, you're right, but... And he's averaging 45 in the series. It's quite interesting, actually. If you look at England's batting averages in the series, they are in perfect batting order, actually, in terms of the average, because Crawley, number one, is averaging 45. Duckett, number two, 37. Pope, number three, 32. Then it goes down from there. Root, 29. Bairstow, 22. Stokes, 21.89. Interestingly, exactly the same average as Folkes. At number 7, 21.89. And then the bowlers, 18 for Hartley, 12 for Wood, 10 for Bashir and 2 for Anderson. So they're absolutely in scorecard order, those averages. So they've got the batting order right, I suppose.
It's extremely unusual for that sort of stat to rear its head, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, Crawley's he's a lovely player to watch, but he's not a ruthless player. And probably, I think, you know, to be a top-class Test match player, you have to have that bit of ruthlessness about you. You have to say, yeah, I've got to get 150, I've got to get 170. And I suppose, in a way, you know, it's just talking about sort of his responsibility to go on. I suppose it's that, isn't it? If you do get in, you have got to go on. You have got to make the most of it. Because it in theory, does get easier as you go on.
Yeah.
But I mean, there is some culpability elsewhere as well today.
No, there is. And actually, to be fair to Crawley, it was a beautiful delivery from Kuldeep Yadav, which tempted the drive. It curved away from him, went very full length and spun back through the gate. It was a classic delivery. Pope, you mentioned before, England about not picking Kuldeep Yadav's googly. Mm. Pope definitely misread that one. Went down the wicket just before lunch, trying to just play a fairly orthodox clip. And it was the googly instead of you play for the leg break. And he was completely done like a kipper, stumped at miles down the pitch. And 100 for one became 100 for two at lunch. But still, England had the best of the first session.
Yeah, you say the leg break. I suppose you've got to remember, you've got to think about switching it all around with the left arm wrist spinner. So it's actually the ball that spins back in. But that is the sort of stock ball, isn't it, for the left arm wrist spinner. The googly is the one that goes away from the right hander. And that's what happened with Ollie Pope. Yeah, it was the other one, whereas Crawley's was the natural in spinner from the left arm wrist spinner. You've got to sort of turn your brain around and sort of think about it in a different way with a left arm wrist spinner. Yeah, but I mean, Ollie Pope, again, sort of just a bit, he's a bit frantic and frenetic at the start of his innings. And if he can get over that, then he can go on. And we saw him do that in the first test. Well, you know, bad time to lose a wicket just before lunch. There's a great shot, isn't there, from side on, where you see Pope so far down the pitch. He's almost actually in the dressing room having his lunch when the bails are whipped off by Jarrell. Sort of straightforward piece of stumbling. Lovely moment for the left arm wrist spin. I mean, he's a good bowler, isn't he, Yadav? He does call it, he does give you problems, and he does spin it as well. And I thought he was excellent today. Sort of, in a way, his figures, they sort of summed up the day or summed up England's batting. What did he take? 5 for 75. From 15 overs. I mean, they tried to get after him a bit as well, and they whacked him about a bit. I mean, Johnny Bairstow, for example. I mean, 100th test match for Johnny Bairstow today. I mean, he came out looking as though he wanted to score the, you know, the fastest televised 50 or whatever it was, or the, you know, quickest 100, you know, in a session or something. And, you know, there's a real belligerence about him. But again, that sort of led to his downfall, didn't it? That was the googly as well, that he's a big drive at. And he reviewed and nicked through to the keeper. I don't know what he was thinking, whether he was thinking perhaps the bat hit the ground or bat hit his pad, or that it was a long way from his pad. Anyway, he reviewed one that, you know, clearly nicked through to the keeper. What did he make of the Bairstow approach today?
Well, you know, I'd just like to say, you know, a fantastic achievement to get to 100 test matches. You know, he's been dropped 14 times or been left out of the team 14 times in that 100 test period. So an incredible performance. And I remember talking to him actually when he'd done his book about 3 or 4 years ago. I did an event with him at Headingley, the book written by Duncan Hamilton about his life. Excellent book. And one thing I remember Johnny saying at the time was he wanted to be the first wicketkeeper batsman to play 100 tests for England. Of course, he hasn't managed that because he hasn't kept wicket all those test matches. No one else has actually done that. But at least he's got to 100 tests, with probably about half keeping wicket. So a fantastic achievement, and something that he must be very proud of, and that his family will be very proud of. Janet, his mum, I saw, was and his sister also, Becky, were there at the sort of cap awarding ceremony delivered by Joe Root before at the start of play. A very poignant moment for the Bairstow family, who've been through so much with the sad death of his dad when Johnny was only 8. So it really is a fabulous achievement for the Bairstow family, which his father David will be looking down on proudly from above. I thought his innings was a bit frenetic, and I thought it could end at any point. He was dropped by a caught and bowled. He was chewing his gum even more ferociously than ever, and he wanted to be his, you know, usual belligerent self. But I thought it was just a bit almost overdone, actually. Adrenaline was really coursing through his veins, and I thought it was only a matter of time before he played a false shot, because the ball was turning a little bit, and the bowlers are very good. And they don't worry about batsmen coming at them, because they sort of feel they've got their number eventually.
Yeah, I think I remember something Jasprit Bumrah said at the start of the series. He said, well, if England want to attack me, that's great, because it's going to mean more wickets for me. And I think there was an element of that today, and certainly in Johnny Bairstow's dismissal. Okay, he did drill 1-6 down the ground. It was actually a skimmer. It hardly got off the ground, just over the rope, a long off, and then he hit one into the leg side as well shortly before he was out. I mean, he made 29 from 18 balls. That's all rather summed it up. And, you know, we've seen Bairstow play in that belligerent way, and it's come off, and he's played magnificently. And when it does come off, it's wonderfully entertaining. I don't know. Today it just felt like it was just, yeah, it was like in fifth gear right from the start. And it's not easy being in fifth gear against this Indian bowling lineup. And Kuldi, well, he had the number, didn't he, today, of that England top order. Magnificent day from him. Hold on, the dog's yipping.
So Bairstow was out, but in a way, Kuldeep had deserved that wicket for just the way he bowled. And actually, of course, you can't discount Jadeja all this time, who's just probing away relentlessly. And in a way, again, he got the key wicket, didn't he? He got Joe Root, LBW. And it was an absolute classic Jadeja dismissal, because the ball before, he bowled a beautiful delivery on about off stump, turned quite sharply away. Root played the line, missed it, taken by the keeper. It was one of the first times the ball had actually significantly turned from an orthodox spinner as opposed to a wrist spinner. So, understandably, the next ball was exactly the same. Root played for a little hint of turn, and it just slid on with the arm and cannoned into his pad. And it was dead LBW. He reviewed it, more in hope than expectation. Yeah, it was just a wonderful bit. And you know, I've seen Steve Smith get out exactly the same way. I don't know what you do with Jadeja bowling at that speed, 60-odd miles an hour or just under, and one ball fired in spins sharply, the next one on the same line and length just carries straight on. Mm. Your bat is only 4¼ inches wide. I don't know what you do. Mm. You've just got to hope that the one that slides on with the arm is missing. But sadly, for Root, it wasn't.
And yeah.
He had to go, and again, a key intervention by Jadeja.
Yeah, absolutely. You summed it up perfectly. And it's the way Jadeja's looking to get Root out, or it's the way Jadeja looks to get right-handers out. And it's a very modern dismissal as well. I say modern, you know, since DRS has come in. Probably back in Tuffers' day, he wouldn't have got that, would he, on, you know, pushing forward on the front foot. Umpires didn't used to give those out. But, you know, clearly we see now with the technology that they are out, and Root had to go. And you just felt 175 for five. You felt India had broken the back of England's batting. Root on his way, you know, played steadily, hadn't he, for 26. Didn't look in, you know, a huge amount of trouble, but Jadeja, that intervention, his one intervention of the day, and a really decisive one. And then Ben Stokes came in. Well, one thing we haven't talked much about in this series, Yoz, we talked about, you know, how it's been a good battle between these two sides, and Stokes has tried to orchestrate things as captain. But he's had a really poor series. Of course, he hasn't bowled, and he's averaged 21.89 with the bat. And he does look to me to be a man, and it hasn't solved any of his problems against spin. We saw it, we've seen it before in India, haven't we, where he's struggled. And he's had a really tough time of it in this series as well. His method that we described in the previous test match, and you talked about it, you know, hanging on the back foot, basically, isn't it? And trying to read the ball off the pitch. And he was pinned LBW today, and he reviewed it. That was out as well, absolutely plumb. And you know, once suddenly England lost three wickets for no runs, the middle order just ripped out, and it just felt the game was only going one way.
I find it odd that a player of Stokes' ability is stuck with this method. You know, that he's not picking Kuldeep Yadav, and that may be a measure of the deception of the bowler, but I can't believe that a player of Stokes' hawk-eyed ability can't see the difference between the two deliveries. And then he's determined to play everything off the back foot. He's so worried about being hit on the pad on the front foot and being given out that he's trying to play it off the pitch off the back foot. And the problem is that Kuldeep speeded up a bit. He's added, I don't know, 4 or 5 kilometres an hour to his natural speed. And that just gives the batsman that bit less time. The problem is, you know, the ball is pitching only 3 or 4 metres from the stumps, much closer to the batsman than a faster bowler would on a length. And there's no time to change a shot if the ball spins sharply. There's very little time. And he keeps, even when he plays forward, he doesn't get very far forward. So I think a technical issue for Stokes against spin that he needs to solve. I mean, watch Jaiswal, what he does. We'll come to him a bit later. But he does make a big stride forward. And you know, he's not facing his own bowlers, admittedly. But his defensive shots are, to me, impregnable. Whereas Stokes' defensive shots look fallible.
Yeah, another disappointing day for England's captains. They're averaging 21.89 in the series. And so 175 for six. Hartley came and went, you know, looking for a big shot, caught at long on. Mark Wood nicked off straight away to slip. And you know, suddenly it was eight down, 183 for eight. And England, 100 for two at lunch, 183 for eight, and then 194 for eight at tee. They scored a few runs just before tee. I actually thought the Folks partnership with Bashir, where they added 35 without sort of seemingly too many problems, sort of indicated that, yeah, England just nowhere near enough on this surface. Okay, there is some spin. There is a bit of turn there, isn't there, actually, on the first day. I think both captains said, well, it looks a good pitch, you know, quite firm and with some carry. But I think there is some spin there, and Kuldeep were able to exploit it. But standard 35 without too much trouble between Folks and Bashir. And Folks just almost, I don't know, summing it up for England, really went for the sweep shot and somehow managed to drag the ball onto the stumps. He had to drag himself off, crestfallen, and then Jimmy Anderson slogged one to mid-wicket and he was out for naught. And it was all done, 218 all out. England's lowest first inning score of the series, and you don't win many test matches, certainly not in India, with a first inning score of 218. It's been one of England's problems throughout the series. 246, 253, 319, 353, 218. England's first inning scores in the series. An average of 277, actually just bolstered by that 353. Whereas India, they've got 400 twice in the first innings, and very nearly 400 in another innings as well, 396, and then the 307. And you I don't think you'd necessarily back against them going quite big in this match as well.
No, that's true. Of course, this series is covered exclusively on TNT Sports, which is also the exclusive home of the UEFA Champions League, Europa League and Europa Conference League, as well as showing lots of other football, rugby, MotoGP, boxing, NBA, WWE and more. The highlights of today, or you could say lowlights if you're an England fan, are on TNT Sports today at 4:30 p.m. And actually, I noticed some quite interesting Europa League matches on tonight, in fact. Most of them, or all of them, in fact, featuring British teams. Sparta Prague against Liverpool, that's at 5 p.m. Then Roma against Brighton, Ajax against Aston Villa, Benfica against Rangers, and Freiburg against West Ham. Those are all on tonight on TNT Sports. So plenty of good football as well as cricket to watch.
Absolutely, yeah. Some interesting cricket to watch over the next few days. And also the New Zealand against Australia second test match is coming up later this week on TNT. I watched a bit of the Real Madrid game against Red Bull Leipzig last night. It just shows sometimes, actually, with these big teams, you can get at them, you can cause them some problems. And yeah, Red Bull Leipzig, they very nearly overturned the mighty Real Madrid in their own stadium. But there was just one, I just thought, actually, sport, one of the great things about sport sometimes is watching great players do something special, something different compared to what mortals do, sort of the lesser players. And there was a wonderful moment involving Jude Bellingham, who just waited. Sometimes in top-class sport, people do things so quickly and you have to do things quickly. But actually, he just paused and waited for Vinicius Jr. to make a run. And then he played this beautiful pass. It's a wonderful moment, actually, of top-class sport, someone able to see something really clearly and execute it. Go away and have a look at it. I'm sure they'll show the replay of the, you know, the highlights or whatever on TNT Sports. Those of you who like your football who didn't see it, it was a really wonderful moment of top-class sporting play.
It was, actually, and I thought it was a classic example of a weighted pass, because it just teased a defender, but the attacker got the ball first and planted it in the back of the net. It was an example, actually, of sort of amazing sort of peripheral vision of a player, of having that instinctive knowledge of where his colleague was going to be and putting the ball in exactly that spot. A wonderful example. So you can stream TNT Sports on Discovery Plus or watch TNT Sports channels on EE, Sky and Virgin Media. A subscription is required, aged 18 plus. T&Cs apply. And after the break, we're going to hear from the man who's creating a new generation of phenomenal batsmen in India.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So England 218 all out. The scene was set for another assault by the Indian batsmen, Rohit Sharma and Yashasvi Jaiswal. I mean, they are a wonderful opening pair, aren't they? The veteran, the sort of the teacher and the pupil kind of thing, right hand, left hand, totally different skill sets. One guy, Rohit, is the most laid-back man on the planet, isn't he? He seems to be. He doesn't seem to bother about Mark Wood bowling at 92 miles an hour. And Jaiswal, this, you know, this ingenue, this young pretender to the throne of great Indian batting. And well, he delivered today, didn't he? I mean, what a wonderful exhibition of his skills, which was quite short-lived in the end, to England's great relief. But he did show his expansive repertoire. But I also thought he showed some very good selectivity and, you know, almost, as I say, impregnable defence against Anderson. He recognised Jimmy Anderson could be a threat with the new ball, and Anderson bowled pretty well. And Jaiswal just defended him very respectfully, very solidly, very resolutely, and very precisely as well. He got his foot in exactly the right position alongside the bat, and, you know, offered a sort of brick wall to Anderson at the start, but then expanded his repertoire soon after when the spinners came on.
Well, he hit three sixes and over off Bashir. He hit three sixes in four balls off him, and he looked as though he was going to take England right down again. I mean, it was pretty ruthless as it was. 100 partnership between Rohit Sharma and Jaiswal. A thrilling stroke from Rohit. You talk about their different styles. Well, Mark Wood actually cranked up the speed quite quickly, didn't he, early on in his spell, but pretty ineffective. Actually, but he was pulled for six by Rohit over fine leg. It went way back into the crowd, over the fielder's head at fine leg. And that delivery was 151.2 kilometres an hour from Wood, which is pretty rapid. But actually, Rohit seemed to play it really well, just sort of lifting it away. I don't think it was it wasn't one of those sort of no-look top edges. He actually controlled the sort of pull-stroke hook shot anyway. And then Jaiswal got to work. I think the biggest surprise, almost, was when Jaiswal was out. And we talked about Crawley sort of cameo cricket today and some of England's cameo cricket. And in a way, I suppose you could argue today from Jaiswal, after his fantastic scores so far in the series, it was a bit of cameo cricket from Jaiswal in the end, because there wasn't quite that ruthlessness today. But he's had a fantastic series and he looks a wonderful talent. You talked about him being past 1,000 runs in, what, 9 test matches, 712 runs in the series so far at 89. Whether he'll get another go in the second innings, I'm not absolutely sure about that. He might need him to knock off a few in the final innings, but India's so in control of the game, you know, they could actually take England down in 3 innings of the match. But it's been a wonderful series from him.
Well, here's a measure of what he's achieved so far. So he scored his 1,000th run in this innings, in his 9th test match, and it was a sweep across to deep square leg. Soon after, actually, he was out. But it is a measure of what he's achieved. Just looking at the list of fastest to 1,000 runs batsmen, in terms of tests, his 9th test, it's equal with the best ever. And the only other people who've scored 1,000 runs inside 9 tests were Herbert Sutcliffe of England, Everton Weekes of the West Indies, and George Headley of the West Indies. Those are the only 3 batsmen who've scored 1,000 runs inside 9 test matches, and now to be added to is Yashasvi Jaiswal. In terms of innings, which I suppose is a bit more realistic or accurate, Jaiswal is the 6th fastest. So Herbert Sutcliffe got 1,000 runs off only 12 innings. Everton Weekes also 12. Donald Bradman, of course, inevitably, 13 innings for his 1,000. Neil Harvey of Australia, 14. Also, Vinod Kambli, 14 test innings. He played against England in the late 80s and early 90s. I remember him scoring a double, and he was a dynamic, brilliant left-hander who disappeared without trace, had a few other problems and later faded from the game. So he got his 1,000 runs in 14 innings, and Jaiswal's got his in 16, which is equal with Len Hutton and Frank Worrell. So an extraordinary performance by a young man only 22 years old. And as you say, 700 runs in this series. So that equals India's best against England, or it's the best ever by an Indian batsman against England. Sunny Gavaskar still holds the record for an Indian batsman against anybody. So I did a piece, actually, as I mentioned earlier on Substack, on my sort of blog site the other day, about focusing initially on three sixes that Jaiswal hit off Jimmy Anderson off successive balls in the third Test match. He hit a sort of slog sweep flick over deep square leg for six. He then hit Anderson went wider of the crease, wider of the off stump, and he hit Anderson over extra cover for six, the next ball. And then Anderson went straighter and shorter, and he belted him back over his head for six. And he went from 159 to 177 with three shots to all different corners of the ground. And you'd have thought, well, that was sort of a bit random in a way. But actually, as I argue in the piece, it wasn't random, because the way that Indian batters, particularly for the Rajasthan Royals, of which Yashasvi Jaiswal is a member, do have a particular way of practicing, which is quite revolutionary and pioneered by the man I mentioned at the start, Zubin Barucha, who's been with the Royals ever since they were founded in 2008 and has been very much their director of high performance. He was a former first-class cricketer who actually scored 100 on his first-class debut, but after a few matches went into coaching and has been there ever since. And he's someone who drives batsmen to higher levels of achievement, and he's got that record with quite a number of players in the past. And now he's been working with especially Jaiswal and Drew Jurel, the guy who came into the Indian side in the last couple of Test matches, and also Paddy Cal as well, who's made his debut in this Test match too. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes. But I thought we'd just hear a little bit from Zubin about what his coaching philosophy is.
What we're trying to build is a 360 player who can hit the ball in every direction, and particularly hit it where there are no fielders. So now all our practices are geared towards each output. So we have like six outputs that we've generated for. So the output could be, you know, you have to hit a boundary square of the fielder on the offside, you know, beating, you know, the fielder on the offside, and the same on the onside. Either you have that shot or you don't have that shot, you know, against the spinner and against the fast bowler. And if you didn't have that shot, our roles, you know, at the academy level was to rebuild you so that you have the ability to do that. So let's take Jaiswal as an example. Jaiswal, when he first came, couldn't hit sixes off the left arm spinner or leg spinner through long on and mid wicket. He couldn't do that because he had a bent elbow at the point of contact. Now, that project is like an 18-month project. So whilst we were working on that, we went away and started working on, you know, his reverse sweep, for example. So we said we could compensate in that way. Each player almost has that template in front of them that, you know, they have to go, you know, whether they hit the ball offside, onside. And then what we've done with the variability is we've created a layer of sequencing. So all our practices are sequenced like, if the thrower is throwing you a ball, he'll throw one on the offside, and then the next thrower throws it on the leg side, and the next thrower throws it at your face, you know, for the bouncer. So it's flick, cut, pull, drive, and then repeat. So you know, you're in the traditional way, you're one round of in a net would be, you know, two spinners or three fast bowlers or something like that. One round in a net for us today starts with four throwers who are about 11 to 12 feet away from the batsman, maybe 15 feet. Behind them are the sidearms, you know, the guys who wang it. Mm-hmm. So you've got four throwers, four sidearms, all throwing to different locations. And behind that, we have the four spinners and the four fast bowlers. So it's like one round is 16 variables, each being thrown at a sequence of offside, onside, offside, onside. Of course, the bowlers just bowl whatever they want. So what we're trying to do is in one 16-ball session, the guy is getting the entire range, and if he falters somewhere, like he can't play the flick or he can't play the cut, or he just keeps repeatedly getting the same shot, so eventually he has to get it right. So that's how we're building the base on which, you know, this final product is what you kind of switch on the TV and watch. So we don't discuss T20 cricket, we don't discuss test match cricket. We don't change anything in our practice sessions we tweak a few things. If somebody wants to play spin, then obviously, you know, we do that. But effectively, it's just scoring runs in areas where there are no fielders and being able to hit the ball in this sequence of offside, onside. So if you saw Jaiswal playing Anderson, there was a six over square leg. He bowled leg stump line. He then goes, he knows that he can't bowl leg stump line. He has to come outside off stump. He then goes six over extra cover. So now he knows, obviously, that Anderson has to come straight at him because he can't bowl outside off. He can't bowl outside leg. And then he goes six down the ground. So that's a sequence that we practice, like, you know, as I said before, that's every ball is in that sequence. Every ball we throw at the player is in that sequence. So now we take that sequence, not only just from the center, from the practice that they're doing, which is almost inevitably on a center pitch, but we take it into tennis ball throws, we take it into rubber ball throws, we take it into practicing the bouncer and on granite wickets, on the outfield. We have a session on the outfield where you can't defend or you can't defend any single ball either on the front foot or the back foot. You either have to hit a four or a six or place it in the gap. And we have spinners bowling from half a wicket into the rough, and they have to do this for an hour pretty much every day. And even there, the spinners are instructed, you know, if they bowl one on the offside, then they have to hit bowl one on the onside. And the players are doing the same. They're hitting one on the offside, they're hitting one on the onside. So you're constantly getting this variability, and that's why you see the run rate going up. And of course, we have heavy bats and light bats and thin bats and heavy balls and light balls and, you know, any artifact that can go into sort of increasing bat speed, you know, increasing sort of your range of shot making, increasing your focus in terms of the tiny bats, tiny balls, you know, what Bradman did all those many years ago. We followed the same principles, and we've just added this layer of sequencing, this layer of variability on top of, you know, these existing principles. So that's where you're seeing this output that is, you know, that's sort of a little bit different to what other people are doing. And it's getting a little bit noticeable. Obviously, we haven't still encountered Australia or England in England. And of course, you know, once we understand what to do for those situations, obviously we'll adapt to that as well. But I would say we're still well short of, you know, doing it in those conditions.
It sounds very systematic, a sort of systematic approach to coaching, which is less about technique and more about output, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's all about output. There's a very strong layer of technique that underpins it, because if you can't hit certain shots in certain locations, you will have to alter technique. So if you can't flick into the onside, like Jaiswal, when he first came, he didn't have any onside game. It was a very heartwarming moment against England, because England, I don't know whether it was the third or fourth or this last test match, they realized that he gets a high percentage of his runs on the offside. So they tried to test him out, you know, straight down, you know, getting him out LBW and caught down on the leg side. And he played beautifully straight down the ground. If you notice, his graph was very different in this last game because they changed their line of attack. And this is something we talked about pretty much the day he arrived here. You know, you have to improve your onside game if you want to become a world-class player. And he was very determined that that's what he wanted to do. So we worked on that. You know, we've been working on that, you know, onside game for the last 2 years almost. So it was very pleasing to see when England attacked him on the inside, he was able to put it away through mid-wicket, through square leg, you know, and flick it over fine leg and so on and so forth. So that was very exciting from, you know, from a development perspective, how we've been able to sort of stack it up so that he's, you know, there's no sort of area that he can't score from.
So it's fascinating to hear Zubin and the impact he's had on players and the way he's making batters think about spaces to hit the ball into in any format, not just the T20 format. They almost disregard what format the batters are preparing for. And the other thing I think is interesting is that in a way, only in India is this possible, because it requires, as he admitted, about 30 odd people to be all these ball feeders and sidearm throwers and so on. It's created quite an opportunity, an employment opportunity, actually, for a new raft of people in Indian cricket and potentially in other countries as well. But you do need the facilities and the people and the investment as well to have the time and the expertise to work on a player. But, you know, they're trying to produce almost what you might call the perfect batter. And they seem to be getting some way towards that with Jaiswal, don't they?
Absolutely. And he sort of hinted there that other people were sort of taking note of what they were doing. Do you sense that's within India or in the game in general?
It's hard to tell what other franchises are doing, but Zubin is quite confident that their method is unique. And the Rajasthan Royals have always been quite a sort of ahead of the game. They were the first people to really use data analytics and so on, and they've gone into that in deep, deep detail. Now they're using the data to inform how they practice. And so the practice methods are clearly, I think, more intense and more sophisticated than probably any other franchise or any other club around the world. Players obviously share stuff and they will pass it on, and other franchises will probably buy into this idea. And of course, we haven't even mentioned what Drew Jarrell did before the last test. He spent 4 hours with Zubin practicing against a range of spinners, about 20 different spinners, faced 140 overs in the middle. They have a facility in the centre of India, near Nagpur, where a groundsman can produce any one of 40 different types of surface. And they really focus on middle practice. They don't do nets at all. They've almost got rid of the idea of nets. They have middle practice with full field settings and lots of bowlers and encouraging batsmen to find ways of scoring runs, irrespective of the situation or the match type.
Are India going to be beaten at home in the 21st century?
Well, I mean, that's a very good question, but I suppose the final thought is I pity the poor bowlers, because the bowlers have got to find a way through this. At least laudably, the Royals also focus on bowlers and having a range of skills at their disposal and perfecting those skills, and also pushing them physically as well. So, for instance, they'll get a bowler to bowl his six balls in a middle practice, and in between each ball, he's got to go and field the ball at mid-on, or pick it up and throw it into the keeper or something. So there's a little drill between deliveries. And then when they're not bowling and they're having a breather for an over, they're made to field a ball from long on to run in and throw it in before going to their next over. So they're sort of trying to push them physically as well as technically.
Well, it seems to me as if India are going to sort of new levels. You're seeing it with players like Jaiswal and Jarrell in that last test match. I thought, he looked excellent, didn't he? A keeper, right at the start of his test match career, but playing two match-winning innings and helped India clinch the series. So, good luck to teams going to India in the future. They've got all these resources and all this talent as well. And it seems to me it's being harnessed. So there's going to be a huge challenge for the rest of the world to go to India and do well. And it has been like that for, a decade or so now. I suppose the challenge for India is when they go abroad. But, they're doing pretty well at that. But they haven't won many international tournaments of late, have they, the men? So, yeah, they'll get there, though. You feel they will, because they've got these methods in place and they have got the talent. And, good luck to the rest of the world. And I have to say, good luck to England in this test match. I mean, they'll do well to get out of it without a three-day defeat, it seems to me. It might just dribble into the fourth day, unless they can change the tide tomorrow somehow. I did mention the ball just turning a bit. Can they get some early wickets? But India look on course for another crushing victory, you'd have to say, at this stage.
Yeah, they do. I mean, one final point. I was very impressed with Shoaib Bashir tonight, who had an onslaught from Jaiswal, but came back superbly, got him stumped, gave him the 1,000-yard stare, a bit of a send-off, didn't say anything, but, glared at him. And there's a fire in that bowler's belly, definitely. And interestingly, of course, he was at the Rajasthan Royals Academy and met Shane Warne, and credits that meeting with giving him a kind of ambition. But he held his nerves superbly, and he's definitely going to have a big future. So well done to him, and perhaps he can get another 5 wickets in the morning. So we'll be back tomorrow to review the second day's play. Don't forget, of course, it's on TNT Sports from 4 a.m. Thanks for listening.
Yep, thanks for your company. Goodbye for now.
Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.